Big ideas, big tech.
VMware Cloud Foundation and Dell EMC VxRack SDDC.
What the heck is VxRack?
It is awesome!
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 74. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and joining me once again is Mr. John Nicholson. Hola, John.
Hola. I'm happy today to be back here in the beautiful, beautiful Houston. We're in that 2 week period where we get great weather, and I enjoyed sunny Toronto in the winter, which is a great time to go to Toronto. Everyone, like, spring break, you know, that's where to be, but it's good to be home.
Yeah. Well, the week before that, you were in Ohio, and it's like, when you're not around for the podcast, I have to have the Where in the World is John contest and give away V-speaking swag. So if you keep doing all this traveling, I'm going to have to order some more t-shirts.
Oh, I need to send over my schedule to you because we're going to need to record like 12 episodes. April and May are going to be, it's going to be all over the world. It's going to be Carmen Sandiego time.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. Well, hey, we got some great guys on the call this week, some good friends of ours from Dell EMC, starting with someone who actually was a co-host for the podcast at one point, Mr. Aaron Bewley. Aaron, welcome to the podcast.
What is up, fellas? Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, man, always. How you been?
Pretty good. You guys were just talking about where John has been, and I think one of my favorite memories is memories. That sounds kind of funny. One of my favorite podcast memories. I think he was on some like Polynesian island. You're just doing sound capturing there? Were you actually participating in a podcast?
There actually is internet in Bali. I'll say that much. So.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, good to be back. Good to feel the love. And I hope you guys enjoy what we're bringing today.
Oh, yeah. Hashtag Bewley Strong, man. Hey, so Aaron, we're talking VxRack SDDC this week. And you're not alone. You brought some big guns with you. Why don't you introduce your friends?
First off, it's Philip Armstrong from my VxSeal team. We're a global force for good, the public-facing subject matter experts for the Rack and Rail business unit.
What's up, Phil?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
We also have the Jason Marks, the senior tech marketing manager for VxRack SDDC, also part of Gil Schneerson's organization for VxRail and VxRack SDDC.
How's it going, man?
Doing good.
Awesome. Well, I know this is just an audio podcast, but I'm sitting here looking at the video stream of this conference, and we're all wearing t-shirts, and Jason's the only grown-up in the room. He's really classing the joint up there with his business casual, so thanks for that, Jason.
I straddle the line between tech and marketing. That's what we do.
I like it. All right, Jason, let's start with you then. I've already spoken to Aaron several times about VxRail. Really cool turnkey solution. But why don't we start with explaining what VxRack SDDC is and how it differs from VxRail?
Sure, I can take that. So ultimately, it comes down to whether you want a hyper-converged appliance type of package system, which is ultimately what VxRail is. And that's basically infrastructure that packages software-defined compute along with software-defined storage on some sort of standardized x86 server. However, if you're looking for something a little bit more grandiose, something that can actually include integrated networking, both at the physical level and at the software-defined level, we have RackScale HCI, which is exactly where VxRack SDDC fits. So it will then include what is essentially the VMware Cloud Foundation software stack, which embeds vSphere, vSAN, and NSX, as well as SDDC Manager in one integrated cloud platform.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one of the neat things about what SDDC Manager gives you, when you kind of distill it down, showing the differences between Rail and Rack SDDC. With Rail, you're deploying VMs. With Rack SDDC via SDDC Manager, you're deploying workload domains.
But it's essentially the same. It's the same gear, right? But we're talking different management platform, but we're talking about the same hardware, right?
Yep. All based on standardized Dell EMC PowerEdge infrastructure, except within something like a VxRack SDDC, we're also including physical switch network infrastructure as a part of that whole engineered and qualified system that customers can actually just buy outright versus having to build themselves.
Yeah. Rack SDDC is actually built off of Rail nodes.
Ah, it's off of VxRail. That, okay, so tell me about that.
Ultimately, I mean, if you were to take a look at what a VxRail appliance is, it's a hyper-converged system that's standardized and based on Dell EMC PowerEdge servers, right? The best of breed Dell EMC PowerEdge. VxRack SDC systems are no different. They're all based on Dell EMC PowerEdge infrastructure.
All right. And so, Phil, you're here as well, and I love your title because I think I heard you mention that you were a VX. Is it a VX SEAL?
VX SEAL is the group. There's about 12 of us globally that are part of this group, but really our main goal is driving education to customers, business partners, sales teams around VxRail and VxRack SDDC. We do a lot of things, specifically customers. This week, I was working with a customer finishing up, kind of getting close to the finish line on a $10 plus million opportunity. It's a pretty big one. Looking forward to it.
Nice. Yep. How much of that is going to go to you?
We're not commissioned. Yeah.
We're not commissioned. Just do what it takes.
They do it for the love of the game.
That's right. So, you know, we're going on this world tour of VxRack SDDC Bootcamp. And really what that is about is educating the Dell EMC, the VMware teams on the platform, what it's capable of, showing off the automation and talking about positioning and really getting them enabled. And, you know, anybody that's within the Dell EMC VMware family, where we have, you know, sessions going globally, so you can join those and, you know, I can help educate you and, you know, bring the goodness of the platform to you.
Talk me through a little bit about this. So I know, you know, with previously with converged systems, you would have something show up as a giant block in your data center. But from a deployment options, just because this is, you know, rack scale servers rather than blades and things in the past, is this something that's much more, you know, flexible in types of that? Or is this something, do I get a cool rack with a cool logo is, I guess, really what I'm trying to hit at here.
That's kind of one of the differences that Jason was talking about with the two products, right? With a VxRail, it's an appliance-based product that can integrate into an existing network infrastructure. With a VxRack, you're buying an entire system, including the top-of-rack switches, the entire software-defined data center, including vSphere, NSX, vSAN, fully deployed with automation, no manual steps. That also includes all of the rack and cabling and the PDUs and everything to make it, you know, ready to go. So after a few days of work on site, you have a fully software-defined data center deployed and your data center ready to go.
Now, people talk a lot about automation of getting, you know, everything ready to go. You know, we've got the day zero, we talk about the setup, but what is the day two automation? Like, what all does that encompass across lifecycle, networking, and so forth?
Absolutely. You know, day two operations. The way I think about that is you have all of your vSphere infrastructure built. You have your vSAN data store created. You have all of your NSX components deployed, running. And then, you know, it's time to upgrade to the next known good version that's fully automated with SDDC Manager. And if you need to add another host, fully automated to do that. You don't have to do any manual steps. If you want to create a new cluster, fully automated, right? You answer a few questions and an hour later, you have an entire NSX deployment on top of a vSphere cluster with a vSAN data store ready to go.
See, you know, I personally am just going to miss those long arguments with my networking team that span months, you know, to get the VLANs trunked for my new cluster. But that sounds pretty sexy right there.
You know, like a VLAN trunking, right? If you think about it, some of these large global companies that are deploying VxRack SDDC, there's many switches that need to have VLAN configurations on it. You put values into SDDC Manager and it automates configuration of all of those switches for you.
And I like it's that whole end-to-end. In fact, I use the word trunking, which depending on whether you're from the Cisco tribe or the HP tribe of networking can mean wildly different things. But automation gets rid of all these opportunities for misconfiguration. And I mean, it's about speed, but it's also about just getting stuff done in a consistent manner.
Consistency.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest driver, what we've seen from customer conversations, and I'm sure obviously VMware's had plenty of these as well, is that the ongoing lifecycle management of their infrastructure is probably the bane of IT's existence. They spend probably most of their time doing that kind of stuff, and we want to be able to enable those folks to, I don't know, take some vacations maybe, and have the mundane things handled by tools that are really good at it.
Well, and I was just going to say, I also like that whole idea of it being the life cycle being automated, because increasingly, you know, internal IT may see, you know, public cloud as an opportunity for hybrid cloud, but also just you know, to a certain degree, you have to compete with public cloud. And if you look at things like VMC, they're constantly adopting the new versions. And if you're stuck on vSphere 4.1 still, you know, because lifecycle is hard and you're not ready to operationalize this stuff, this is the easy button to get you back in the game.
Yeah, exactly. It's about managing the things that aren't a differentiator for a customer, and effectively managing a lifecycle process is nothing that differentiates any business. All it does is become a detractor for you if you can't keep up, like you're just talking
about. Yeah, so apparently that's kind of the bane of everybody's existence, doing a lot of that lifecycle management. But you can kind of take it a step further as you kind of look at the complete software-defined data center. You know, you're dealing with all these different components around software-defined storage and networking. And then you kind of factor in even the cloud management type of stuff as kind of you evolve your use case for why you're even doing all of this stuff. And trying to keep track and maintain all of those things in coordination with each other is probably the reason why we've had plenty of examples of customers crash and burn when trying to build their own private clouds or own software-defined data centers in an a la carte kind of way. And really, the VxRack SDDC is kind of that way to help streamline and simplify that for them.
Well, yeah, that was the big attraction when I first even heard of VxRail initially was, you know, you can either, you know, pick your own and build your own vSAN using your, you know, servers that are on the HCL. You had options. You know, we've got our vSAN ReadyNode program. That's got a list of vendors. But then, you know, VxRail came out and said, hey, we can do this for you. You know, we can pretty much have you up and running. And now VxRack SEDC takes it even a step further, puts it all together, handles your networking, has the entire piece. My only question is there an a la carte menu? Or am I losing some functionality, or do I have to go with a very, like, very locked down set of components and software to manage?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think part of VMware's strategy with regards to Cloud Foundation is about being able to deploy Cloud Foundation in a number of different ways. So there's kind of three major ways in which you can consume Cloud Foundation. One, customers can actually deploy it completely on their own and go to a hardware compatibility list for servers and switches and pick whatever type of vendor solution they want and install and cable and rack all of these things completely by themselves, or they can hire partners and services to assist them. But at that point, you know, it's kind of their own beast at that point. Then you kind of have a way in which VMware is partnered with companies like Dell EMC strategically to really create a whole new category of integrated system ways in which you can consume Cloud Foundation, where the vendor really supplies and makes some of those choices for you as far as the types of servers, the switching, and the complete cabling and wiring and imaging and really the delivery of a fully integrated rack system is done through the vendor's fulfillment services. So it really streamlines and speeds up the delivery of a ready-to-use system versus a customer having to worry about kind of building it on their own. And then the other key thing, and this is where we really, you know, a lot of times customers tend to ask us, you know, is it private? Is it public? You know, which type of cloud do I go with? And I answer yes, which is always the best one. And the reason is we aren't the only decision. We certainly, as being a on-premise instantiation of Cloud Foundation for our customers, can easily plug into the greater VMware Cloud and AWS public cloud story to really truly enable that hybrid cloud experience and simultaneous operating model that customers are already used to. So we really just are an easy plug to the on-premises story for that greater VMware cloud strategy. And we're happy to kind of partner along with VMware on that.
So from extending this, it's just the same components that you would run on it, you know, any of your public cloud as you extend your hybrid cloud, be that to VMC or, you know, SoftLayer or any of the other guys out there, right?
Yeah, I think the idea is it's VMware compatible infrastructure. It's the same vSphere, it's the same NSX, it's the same vSAN. That ultimately, when you look at it, you know, if I'm a customer wanting to deploy a workload, or I even have a workload that I've already deployed on an on-premise vSphere based infrastructure, you know, part of the challenge with adopting hybrid cloud has been cloud incompatibility. I'd have to convert my virtual machine to a different type of hypervisor in order to move it into the public cloud. Well, now that we have the same VMware type of infrastructure stack at both ends, that task becomes a lot easier without really any changes.
No, and thinking also just to how do you get that data there, having a common, you know, common replication engines and APIs for moving that data. I remember talking to service providers back in the day, and it was almost kind of tribal, like this service provider would have these arrays, so they would only replicate in customers who had matching arrays. But moving everything to where it's all in a VM, at this point now, you can just leverage, you know, be it vSphere replication, recovery point for VMs, SRE, whatever your way of moving data is, that common path, you know, common hypervisor, common data movement system helps a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong on this. I may be a little bit biased, but this is the closest thing that exists from a holy grail perspective of offering that truly hybrid cloud, being able to do all that.
Right? Yeah, I would agree with that. I do have one question, though. Like, I love hyperconverged infrastructure, obviously. I love the idea. I also love the VxRail, the VxRack solutions, these turnkey solutions that really give you all the software, all of the management, everything done for you. But what about existing workloads? Like, how do I get my stuff in there? I mean, I would imagine that once you deploy these, I'm sure it's not only Greenfield, right? Like, how do you get existing workloads into these solutions?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's, you know, a big part of what I do is talking with customers specifically around how do you get your VMs from your old environment into your new. So a great option for that, you know, with SDC, we talked about it's automated deployment. It's brand new SSO domain, new vCenter, new cluster. So we have our old environment that we need to migrate over. Cross vCenter, cross SSO migration is a great option. There's a Fling that VMware has that has a UI that leverages PowerCLI to allow you to do that. Or you can script it and migrate that way. There's some restrictions around versions of vSphere so that you're at the minimum level to do a cross vCenter vMotion. You need to be at least at, you know, 6.0 update 3.
Well, man, if you're not at 6.0 update 3, shame.
Well, you know, you say that, but most customers, back to our point of a three-tier architecture, it's very difficult to lifecycle that. So there's a lot of customers I talk to that are still at 5.5 and older because it's just so hard to update to the next version. And that's really what we're solving with SDDC Manager is that issue.
I remember Chad talking about just the length of time it would take to get vBlock versus VxRail, get customers up to date. Just because if you think about all the subcomponents, you've got the array, you've got the hypervisor, you've got the HBAs, you've got some type of fabric interconnect or other thing or CNA type abstraction device. You've got a fabric switch. And then you've got your backup software, your replication engine. All of these, you have to find a version that, and server BIOS.
Don't forget the hosts and the firmware. Yeah.
Yes. And the host BIOS and the SXI build and the vCenter. Please upgrade the vCenter before the hosts. Like, it's a stack and it's kind of like aligning the planets. In fact, I think I actually mentioned more thing than we have planets, depending on whether you count Pluto. So
RIP Pluto.
A lot of customers' major upgrades in that three-tier world were build a new silo, find a way to chunk everything over to it. And I like the fact that, one, just with the technology, we're collapsing out half of those annoying things I mentioned. And then, two, with the automation, we're kludging that the rest of the way.
And might I add number three, which is giving customers a different consumption model and how they procure all the tech. So you can build your own and still have to worry about doing that. And obviously, every deployment becomes a snowflake. So automation becomes even more difficult. But we, as a part of, let's say, a VxRack SDDC as an example, because it's an engineered system, we take on all of that work on doing the qualification on behalf of the customer. So the benefit that customers do get when adopting that is that we've already been able to guarantee one well-known good state to the next. So customers have a nice predictable way in which they know they can get to that next version. So it's a really good kind of risk-averse kind of way customers can continue to evolve as new tech features are available and customers can take advantage.
On consumption models, I'm curious what you're seeing in terms of customer uptake on the traditional CapEx buy versus OpEx, sometimes called by the drip or whatnot. I've sat in, you know, presentations we're talking about. I think it was CloudFlex originally with VxRail, and I've also heard this just historically. Various consumption models to where, and it's not even like, oh, I need to think about, I need a new box. Like, there's spare capacity just kept on the floor. And as you turn it on, it, you know, you true up, or so to speak.
Yeah, I think for that, we certainly have VxRail, which is certainly taken off in being able to offer choices to customers, whether they want to purchase a VxRail using traditional CapEx methods, or we do have this CloudFlex program that essentially allows customers to pay for what they use with pretty much no risk and no contract, if you will. So really, it's kind of the first 12 months, as long as you can kind of guarantee that. After 12 months, you can return the thing, no questions asked. And then we can allow you a monthly payment that essentially decreases as time goes on to, you know, deal with the lower cost of of the tech.
See, I like that because the traditional experience was if I ever wanted to put a support array under extended support, it actually hockey sticked up. My costs actually increased with age versus this. You're telling me my costs will actually go down with age. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it provides customers that OPEX model. And again, it has to do with no risk. So they can actually return a VxRail after the 12th month. No questions asked. And then we actually see a lot of customers doing this who want to slowly migrate off of legacy infrastructure and start building out net new. And you know, maintenance contracts don't align and all these other things. So it's kind of a nice low risk way to kind of move into a more modern infrastructure architecture.
Well, and what I've seen some people happen is they'll get blindsided by a renewal and they'll be like, look, we're going to sign a 1 year with our existing provider, but we need this to get us to where we're going, so to speak, be that, you know, some larger full stack. And so that way they're not on that all in 100%. Because this was an issue. Sometimes you would commit to the new full stack, but it took you a year to migrate. And now you had all those assets just sitting there depreciating, doing nothing. So
Phil, I know you and the SEALs have been traveling around the world teaching VxRack and talking to a lot of customers. I'm curious, who do you think is the ideal customer for VxRack?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So, you know, the customers that are looking to move forward with VxRack SDDC, they are looking to deploy a software-defined data center very fast. And the difference between deploying this system with Cloud Foundations as opposed to a VxRail, back to our point earlier, it's the entire system, the switches, the software-defined networking, everything included in the system. So the minimum size to start would be 8 nodes. So, you know, with a VxRail, our minimum size to start is, you know, 3 or 4 nodes. So there's a larger entry point. But really, the customers that I see and that I'm working with right now are looking to do, you know, thousands of virtual desktops running Horizon. We can automate the full deployment of that entire stack out of the box, which is really cool. We have customers that are, you know, standardizing on VMware for their software-defined data center, trying to automate that environment and have thousands of VMs. That's a great use case as well, the large enterprise customer.
Okay. And do you guys do a try it before you buy it? Or how does that, is there a proof of concept? Did you guys go in there and say this will work? Or is there, how does that work?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both, right? I talked about it earlier where, you know, we're doing this global tour with the sales teams and the technical teams within the companies. But when a customer needs to be educated a little deeper, you know, I have system, it's not my lab. I can show up on site and we can run it through its paces and really show the automation and the lifecycle management, everything that we're talking about. We can prove it out with the customer at their office with one of our systems.
Yeah, we've got a dozen racks up in Hopkinton, whether they're set up as single rack instances or dual rack, some that are set up for certain purposes to show off different things, whether it's an NSX focused POC or demo, or it's VDI focused, et cetera.
So what are you guys going to be doing at, you know, Dell Technology Summit's coming up? I was going to say this is my fourth year, I think, to go to some iteration of this show. But I'm curious, what's everyone's role going to be there? Where are you going to be able to find you guys? You know, what sessions have you got to plug? Who's going to be a booth babe like me, you know?
Yeah, so I think we'll all be managing the booth at some point. We've got some hands-on labs going on. We'll have some VxRack SDDC systems there, so you can actually see one, touch one. There'll also be, I know there's going to be several sessions specifically diving into different aspects of Rack SDDC, as well as there'll be some, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, I think you guys are planning some pretty impressive demos with the latest code that drops that Monday that we'll see on the main stage.
Yeah, it's going to have a pretty significant presence at Dell Technologies World, I think, this year regarding our VMware HCI portfolio, right, around VxRack SDDC, around VxRail. A lot of goodness happening. As Aaron mentioned, we got tons of sessions regarding both. We're going to have physical systems available. You know, we may even have some executives talking about our stuff and possibly showing it off. You know, a lot of things like that. Booth babes, obviously. I mean, Aaron's going to be there, so that's a no-brainer. We're all about that. We got Aaron, say, a nice pink polo to wear.
I will say that no comment. I will say that we'll be available and around, and we absolutely love to go and have breakout conversations with customers. Those seem to be the most valuable time that we have at Dell Tech World or at VMworld every year. So if anyone listening has a customer, you can ping us. We're at vxseals@dell.com and let us know if you want us to sit down with one of your customers that's there.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah, I think yours truly will have a breakout session. So myself and some of my VMware counterparts are going to partner together on a session on VxRack SDDC. So certainly everybody's invited. And I think one of Phil's counterparts, Faisal, name drop, is also going to have a VxRack SDDC breakout session there too. So a lot of representation all around to get your geek on and smarten up out there.
I'll be trolling in the audience with questions in y'all sessions. So the other thing I want to point out, if you've never been to this conference, there is so much hardware on the floor.
Oh yeah.
Like what I love VMworld, but there is just a ridiculous comical amount of servers and drives. And I remember it actually may have been the last EMC World. We actually had a VxRail at the booth. And it was the first time you ever had an actual server sitting at a VMware booth. And people were like coming up, they were like wanting to pull stuff out and pull drives and look at, I think I saw someone lick a memory DIM. Like,
yeah, I think that was you, John.
Okay, maybe.
It might have been Paul Brerin.
No, there's like, if you like actually getting to see hardware, which I used to be kind of like, I was like, oh, I'm past hardware. I've spent too much of my life in data centers. But now having like, you know, 3 years, I haven't seen my servers in Wenatchee. I don't get to go hug them. It's kind of fun.
It is kind of crazy. As much as the world is becoming software defined, everybody loves to look at a server. It just boggles my mind.
And the 14G are some good looking servers. The bezels and the what? Serviceability and the boss module. I'm like, this is the coolest damn thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, that boss module, I think we named after Aaron. So.
Nice.
For those of you who don't know what a boss module is, this is a PCI riser card that's got, I think it's a Marvel based Radon controller chipset. It's got a pair of M.2 drives and a RAID 1. So rather than, we used to do embedded installs SD cards. The problem is SD cards, you couldn't log to them. And SD cards just aren't necessarily as reliable as a proper SSD. This gives you the ability to do that full install, get all your logs, all your crash dumps, all your traces, and get that extra reliability of moving to an actual, you know, server class NAND rather than just, you know, SD cards.
It stands for boot optimized storage system. Is that right?
It's
boot optimized something. Yes.
We'll edit it afterwards if that's wrong. So
close enough. But you know, to kind of rewind 30 seconds or so, when you're talking about customers that are interested in actually seeing and putting their hands on hardware, I still have conversations with customers, you know, in briefings or after. Like the latest one was the Dell EMC Forum in Charlotte. We finished up a presentation on Rail, and you know, somebody was just like, "Man, this is mind blowing." You know, help me understand that the storage is in the server. And I was like, yeah, you know, your storage array is gone. He's like, well, so I don't need my Equalogic array. Like, do I connect my Equalogic array to the rail? I'm like, no, you just migrate and the storage is in the server. And just that concept, he just needed to see. So we walked over there and we showed him one of the ones that was sitting there. And it was just, it's still mind blowing to people. It's every day for us, but it's a game changer.
No Fibre Channel cards.
Wait, it doesn't support Fibre Channel over Token Ring?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's Fibre Channel?
Nice. I like it.
Lung stuck.
Nice. All right. That seems like a pretty good introduction to VxRack SDDC with VMware Cloud Foundation. I'll be sure to leave detailed information on the show notes of this page. So if you want to learn more about the solution, or if you want to put your hands on it, you can go to Dell Technologies World. Talk to John, talk to Jason, talk to Phil, even Aaron Bewley will be there to talk to you about it. Gentlemen, anything else before we take off?
No, looking forward to the show and certainly wishing everybody comes down, talk to us, you know, say hello. More than happy to chat with the pretty much awesome listener base that is the Virtually Speaking podcast audience.
Yes, I like it.
Some of the best in the world, no doubt about it.
Yeah, congratulations, guys, on 74 episodes. That is no small feat.
Yeah, man.
It's just sometimes it's a twirling whirlwind here, but fun times.
Dedication and heart.
Yes. All right, gentlemen, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to Phil, Jason, and Aaron for joining us today and talking some VxRack. We'll see you next week. But until then, bye for now.
Lungs suck.
Oh, yeah.
VxRack, hyperconverged platform built for the data center.
It is awesome!
Enough of this jibber jabber.